services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 268. I'm Adam, and I've forgotten the blooming quote. It was something to do with... never mind. And here's Mary Lang.
And remember, no monkery.
That was one of them. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
That is the dematerializing control. And that over yonder is the horizontal hold. Up there is the scanner. Those are the doors. There's a chair with a panda on it. Sheer poetry, dear boy. Especially now, please stop quote. Bothering me.
Especially a quote, not a blooming recital of the script. Oh, dear. Andy Nunny.
Well,
shut up.
Mead. Oh, Mead. Yes, of course. Yes, yes. How nice of you. Yes, delightful. Thank you. Thank you. Well, here's to your very good health.
Lovely Dawn.
Just put that one there. Okay. Oh, it's gone. Hang on. Where's it gone?
This is slick.
This is slick.
We're
ruining
it, folks.
Oh, there we go.
Edith.
Edith. There it is. Edith. There we go.
Yes. While there are fish in the sea, one never need starve.
Yay. Isabella Pearson.
Hello.
Hang on. Let's find a quote for Isabella. A random quote from the episode.
Well, I've got the script here as well.
You don't need that.
The script? I've lost my notes, haven't I? So I've got my script on my iPhone.
There we go, right. Oh, I'll do one, actually. What do you think it is, a space helmet for a cow? Well, that's not for Isabella, that's for me. I'm surprised nobody picked up on that one. There you go, try that one. That top one.
Do you wonder why I don't believe you?
There we go. That'll do. Thank you very much. I think we got there in the end. And that's the end of the show. Goodbye. Right then.
Bye.
Right. This week, I suspect we'll be talking about the Time Meddler. But first of all, I suppose we'd better talk about the Isle of Wight Festival, Andy.
It was good, yes. It's the first time we've been to the Isle of Wight Festival. We thoroughly enjoyed it. We didn't stay around at Fleetwood Mac, which Adam called the Philistine. Well, I wanted to go out because it was my birthday yesterday. I wanted to go and have a nice hotel where there's a nice bed and a nice shower and nice hot food. And we did that. I think the best thing, though, we saw Tony Visconti, who is David Bowie's bass man, and he did a version of The Man Who Sold the World, which I can play on the guitar, and he had Suzanne Vega made a guest appearance on lead vocal. That was rather good.
Was that in the Big Top?
That was in the Big Top, that was, yes. And we saw Groove Armada, who Dawn likes very much. Go on, talk about Groove Armada.
Yeah, he's ringing for hours afterwards, but well worth it.
Dawn's talking, be quiet.
So very uplifting, because we stood and we waited for the Prodigy to come out and it just bucketed it down. So we went into the Big Top and Sharon Corr lifted our spirits before Groove Armada.
Yeah, well, she was very good.
I highly recommend
Sharon Corr off about 3 years ago. She was in the Big Top. Yeah. Really good.
But yeah, we had a good time. So we got rather wet. First time we've been camping, and
probably the last time.
I don't know.
Since we were kids.
Yeah, I went camping with the scouts. But Dawn's little passenger didn't quite appreciate all the getting up and getting down onto the floor and things like that. We were on an airbed, so it was fairly comfortable, and we didn't get wet. And I did nearly manage to set the tent on fire once when I put the barbecue coals in the rubbish bag, and it wasn't quite cold, and the bag caught fire, and the tent nearly went up. But that would have been quite spectacular, given the fact that all these tents are rammed together. I think I could have been responsible for incinerating the entire campsite at the Isle of Wight Festival. Actually, given some of the neighbours we had, probably improved the place.
Did you see foxes?
Miss foxes, unfortunately.
No, I didn't see foxes.
No.
Go on then, Kirby. I've been waiting for this.
Sounds like I've been mispronouncing the name of a certain singer for my entire life.
Stevie Nicks?
David Bowie.
It's Bowie. No. I think Bow Wow, Bow Wow.
No. Oh, it's potato, potato, tomato, tomato. It's
let's call the whole thing off.
Doesn't matter, Bowie. Does it? Bowie, Bowie, Bowie.
Yes,
Bowie.
It does.
You said you guys had missed Fleetwood Mac?
Yes. Adam saw it. We didn't. We came away about 6, 7 o'clock. And we even sold our wristbands for £10 on the way out, so we got some money back. Yes. So
I had to prise mine off last night over my knuckle. It was really quite painful.
And the fact of the thing is, if you twist it round really tight, then you can pull the catch thing up.
Because I'd like to wear it again. I'll have a collection of them in that drawer.
Yeah. There was a posh toilet block that cost us £30 each of the weekend. What it meant was you went to the toilet and it had been cleaned. There was hot water, there was a proper basin. Mm. Rather than going in with a great unwashed, literally, into what were absolutely hideous public toilets. But it means, yes, we could have to actually get properly washed and cleaned up and things like that.
All the toilets are a lot cleaner this year than normally are. The urinal one, which was very embarrassing.
The one probably open.
And do you remember what, just before you left, there was a group of young girls with us that had a green bottle of something alcoholic. Yeah. When it got to Paolo Nutini, one of the girls said, "Oh, I really need to go to the toilet," but she couldn't get out. So she said, "Avert your eyes," and down she went. And there was everybody was like, "I've got nothing to wee into." So I found this cup. And I gave her this cup, and unfortunately, the cup had been trodden on. So when she went for a wee, the wee went through the cup to her shorts, and she still said, "My shorts are wet anyway." So, and then Deb gave her a spray as I like that. She was greatly relieved after that. But by the end of the festival, one of her friends was going, "I really need to go to the toilet." I said, "I'm sorry, I haven't got any more cups." But
Are you guys in the taste? Do you go to festivals at all? Hello? Do you guys go to festivals at all?
Now, I tend to avoid them.
Why?
Yeah, me too.
There's this giant one that occurs in the middle of Tennessee that I used to have, when I was living in Tennessee and commuting back and forth between there and Atlanta, that I'd have to make sure that I had alternate plans to avoid that area because you couldn't drive through there.
Yeah. Well, there used to be one. Sorry, go ahead.
The first time I went to Concus Cerberus, though, it happened to be on that same weekend. So I just went to Concus Cerberus instead of having to bother with that stupid thing. I've only been to one rock concert ever.
Really?
It was the Stones, though.
Oh, that's classic. Oh. Now.
What are you doing?
Take a picture of the back of the shirt. Yeah.
Oh, Isabella's our photographer.
Well, it sounds like I surprised Mary by liking the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. What's wrong with the Rolling Stones?
No, I'm just surprised that the Stones performed somewhere, near you.
it was in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I think Rolling Stones have performed literally everywhere. They've even performed on the Isle of Wight. So they have covered probably more global area than any other band in history, haven't they? Anyway, right. We'll probably digress to the Isle of Wight Festival and other things as we record. And at some point today, we've all got to traipse down the town and see Debbie Melrose, who's a bit grumpy that she couldn't be here today because she's key holder down at M&Co and therefore had to go to work. Otherwise, she could have skived off. But being a key holder, just make it a bit difficult.
Andy, have you met Debbie yet?
I haven't. No, there's another treat.
That's going to be this morning. I'll be taking microphones with me and probably getting Debbie fired at the same time.
Oh, right, okay. So I've met Alpha Debbie, I've met Isabella, I've met Adam, I've met the dogs. Haven't met Alicia yet. So we're expecting pizza. I've met the clock, yes. Yeah.
She has a very.
We've got to get a picture of the three of you together.
Alicia
then.
Has a narrow range of tastes in food, shall we say?
Yes.
She has even narrower a range of tastes in food. It's McDonald's chicken McNut. Sorry, McChicken.
Indeed.
What is it, Isabella? Chicken nuggets. Or chicken nuggets and pasta. That's all she eats.
Pasta's fairly healthy. That's
and,
not bad.
Chocolate cake. And toast.
Yeah.
And bolognese sometimes.
Bolognese.
If you're lucky. Right then.
Sausage, chips and salad cream. That's a delicacy.
Yeah. So, the time meddler... Essentially begins. Well, hang on, I can't remember the beginning. Actually, I think does it begin?
Well, you have the opening credits.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah.
The clock.
Yeah, the clock. Oh, that's another thing he's met. I told you about that. It begins with them sort of talking about the demise of Ian and Barbara.
Well, not demise. I mean, not dead.
Really,
they said they
are still. Getting better.
In a Doctor Who sense.
Then they hear the noise, and I don't
because Stephen. Staggers through the corridors.
Yeah, look, I don't know, but they think it's a Dalek, don't they? And there's the Doctor. He's going to take on a Dalek with a coat.
Yeah.
You know, and Vicky's got some stick or something. I mean, I don't really know what to expect to do. So there you go. And then, of course, we see the monk for the first time.
Of course, the TARDIS arrives on the beach, watched by Peter Butterworth.
Yeah.
And that could be why this episode's called The Watcher.
Clever, isn't he?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so I don't know how many further references to pandas there are.
I was about to ask, are there any more references to that silly thing?
There was a quote in that section that I was going to use if I could have remembered it.
Yeah, the panda on the chair
quote, yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, someone should have used it.
Well, they're obviously pandering to your tastes. Bam!
I haven't got the folder open. Thanks for reminding me.
No, Adam normally plays a rim shot there.
Right. So I'm trying to find the relevant folder. This match a bit slow, yes, this one.
What I've heard is it's two elephants and a sheet of glass going off a cliff.
What, the rim shot?
Yeah, he ba-bam.
That's a rim shot joke that deserves a rim shot. But unfortunately, the folder's not opening up.
You can't open the folder.
So anyway, yes, and then that woman from, this is her, she was in...
An Earthly Child.
Yes. She was her. You know, her.
Yeah, her. You can see her on the screen, her.
An Earthly Child. Yeah.
Has she got a brother called Ben, do you think?
Look, will you shut up? Kirby's job to come up with a rubbish joke.
Well, if I shut up, we would just talk, wouldn't I?
Right, I've still lost my folder. Am I in the wrong... Yeah, I am in the wrong doodah. I should be in this one.
Look in the filing cabinet.
Here it is. No, that's not it. Where is it? Oh, there it is. I should really highlight these and find them much easier. Right, hang on. I'm nearly there.
Nice shot of birds. We got, you know, all the birds flying.
Well, then birds at the festival.
Well, the festival, yeah, there were these. And then of course, we've got the helmet for the cow.
Yeah. Right.
Except, as I pointed out on Facebook a week ago, the Vikings didn't wear helmets
like
that.
Oh, shut up. Does it matter? So here we go.
Yes, it does.
He's really stamped to get
there we go. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, thank you. Fantastic.
Yeah, so... Oh, pardon me.
Indeed, sir.
It doesn't matter about that helmet, because he doesn't actually say it's a Viking helmet anyway, just as it's a helmet.
Yeah. So we left our child a bit of rubbish, yeah? Just as it's a helmet.
Yeah. So, that's a lot of Stephen. That was a bit irritating.
I believe he does say it's a Viking helmet at some point. You want me to find post a picture of the subtitles?
No. Anyway, so there's a lot of Stephen not believing that it's a time machine.
Yeah.
Which is a bit irritating, to be fair. Move the table forward. Bearing in mind, he probably comes from an era in time where there is already time travel.
There is indeed, yeah.
IDBI.
I'm not answering that one. The doctor decides to leave Stephen and Vicky on the beach.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. But they obviously don't stay on the beach. In fact, they depart a few seconds after him, so I'm quite surprised he didn't notice that they were, you know, not on the beach. The monk does a lot of skulking around. The Saxons discover the existence or the potential existence of the Vikings.
They're always very keen on the doctor, aren't they? Her giving the doctor mead. You know, he sort of accepts him quite. Shush! Accepts him quite. Thank you.
Right.
No, they seem to accept the doctor quite happily, and she's very keen to help him, and then he does a bunker course.
That's implying that the Saxons are quite a friendly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I do make a nice cup of tea.
You do indeed.
The doctor decides that he's not going to hang around for a mead, and he does have a bit.
He does have some of the mead, doesn't he?
And then he heads off up to the monastery.
A far cry from the 11th doctor, always spitting out alcohol.
Yes, the third doctor drank wine, didn't he? In Day of the Daleks.
He did.
And didn't Tom Baker have some? Didn't he drink some wine what's the one where he was dueling? Is it not Andrew Datara?
Possibly.
Datara, yes. Yeah, because I've got to think he had some wine in that one as well, didn't he?
Well done, yeah.
And of course, the first doctor smoked.
Yes, indeed.
Very, very briefly.
Yep, he did.
Disgusting habit.
So Stephen has a little bit of a scrap and finds a wristwatch, which sort of underlines his doubt in.
Yeah. So was that the monk's watch there? That's what we never found out. I'm guessing it must have been.
Yes, it was.
It's not made clear, though. I think it's implied, but it's not explicit.
The doctor gets into the monastery.
Of course it's not clear. If it were clear, you couldn't see it.
Not doing a rim shot.
No, we'll ignore that one.
Yeah, and the doctor goes in the monastery, finds a gramophone, and then gets trapped in to a little wooden prison cell.
I think a couple of good kicks and you could get out of that fairly easily. You mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't look sturdy.
So that's his episode off.
Yep.
But they rather cleverly use bits of audio to imply that he was still there.
Yeah, cooks him a nice breakfast. I must admit, the monk did.
Nice
we had a good breakfast at home, but I think they're a bit ungenerous to the doctor to turn it down and throw the cup. He threw the tea at him.
Yeah. But where did he get the power from? I suppose the solar. Yeah. Solar.
Hang on, Dawn's whispering at me.
That's that carry on.
Yes, yeah, Peter Butterworth. Yes.
Yeah, that's what Deb saw said this morning when he was on in the other room.
Yeah.
So there he goes. He's taking breakfast through.
Oh, he was in the Carry On film. What else was he in? Was her quote.
One of these days, I need to see Wally's Carry On.
Oh, Carry On Screaming, that's the best one, definitely.
He's not in that
one. Let me see if they're available on Netflix.
Is Peter Butterworth in
there? I'm not sure if he is.
I think you'll find they are on Netflix, yes.
But no, there are some good ones, some poor ones. But I think
the 1960s ones.
Yeah, Carry On Scream is an X certificate. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Really? Yeah. Well, of course, it was for those days, the content. I mean, brilliant bit frying tonight as Kenneth Williams goes.
Wasn't Carry On Emmanuel an X certificate?
Yeah, but is that really a Carry On film?
That was a bit.
Yeah, weird. That's a bit naffy, isn't
it? It was a Carry On film, but it was a reason these why are the they ones, stopped making them.
These are the ones that they have available. Tell me which ones I should get.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's going to read
Carry On Laughing, Carry On Cleo, Carry On Columbus.
No.
Carry On Matron, Carry On Cowboy, Camping.
Matron and Cowboy.
And Camping. Carry On Camping's good as well.
Yeah, the ones with Sid James in. Lalu.
Pickpocket.
Lalu.
Yeah.
Never heard that one.
That's it.
Carry On Lalu.
It's probably not a proper Carry On film.
No, never heard of that one. You've got one that's completely there.
Carry On Cleo's certainly worth watching. What was the other ones you said? Hello?
Hang on.
Carry On Cleo, Carry On Camping's good. Carry On Matron's not bad.
It's available streaming.
Some of them.
Okay.
Cleo is streaming. Columbus is streaming.
No, don't watch that.
Cowboy is streaming.
Although Columbus has got Bernard Cribbins in it.
Yes, it has, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's also Carry On Spying, which has got
That's
Bernard
pretty
Cribbins.
Much all that yeah. they have.
A very young and beautiful looking Barbara Windsor.
Of course, Bernard Breslau was in Carry On Screaming.
He's been in loads of Carry On.
Oh, he was, yes. Yeah. Well-known Carry On actor there, so another Doctor Who connection there. And someone who's actually even taller than me. Yeah, Adam complained when we had the picture taken at the festival. I made him look short.
Do you know one of my favourite Carry On films? The one where Sid James got the budgie that predicts the racehorses.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love that.
The strike.
Yeah, the factory one. I can't remember what they actually called it. That was really cool. But yes, obviously, the ones you've got streaming aren't necessarily the best ones.
Yeah.
Back to Doctor Who. I told you we were going to digress.
Yeah, of course we will, but no. It looks like Vicky needs to the toilet there. She's jumping
it
down
like
urgently.
That woman next to me.
Yes. then they go and find the monk, and the monk sort of... You think they've noticed by now that he's the only one there.
Himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
It must be a Time Lord thing, because the Doctor does that. Yeah, I like the old the ship on the horizon. So a bit of...
obviously a bit of stock footage, isn't it?
It did work quite well.
Yeah.
I'm moving all through, because there's lots of talking to do with the... the Vikings turn up and not wearing horned helmets, I'm glad to say.
In fact, two of them aren't even wearing helmets at all.
Indeed. They do look very Scandinavian.
They do, yes.
Those helmets look proper.
Thank you, Kurt.
And with Isabella in the room, I won't say what the tashies make me, what kind of films those really bad moustaches make me think of, but I'm sure we can all work
like
out.
Village people.
Dawn's giggling. I think Dawn's got with it, yes. But yes. And then they meet the monk again.
Yes. So, some of those mustaches looked like the on Monty Python, the French.
Okay.
Yes.
Probably the same mustaches, BBC stock.
Probably would be, yeah.
And just in general, throughout these, both the Saxons and Vikings and all their things are horrible.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. They're all kind of crooked and...
I'm not having that.
Well, you have
too much hair.
Well, you probably haven't got time to trim them. I mean, both Adam and I are bearded.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't have electric, beard and moustache trimmers in those days, did they?
Yeah.
What the? Who's making that grunting noise?
I don't know.
Dawn? Oh, no, it's magic.
No, it's not Dawn.
So, Stephen and Vicky turn up at the monastery and get sort of fobbed off by...
But then, of course, they work out that they've tricked the monk.
Yeah. And then poor old Edith gets viciously raped by... which you don't actually...
It's implied, isn't it?
They don't mention it, but you know the sort of trauma that she's been through.
It's mentioned in the script. They don't actually say it.
Yeah.
So, not really...
They had to... I mean, bear in mind, at the time, it was a children's programme. They had to bring that into it. So I think they did it all right.
Rape and pillage were obviously what the Vikings were known for. Yeah, so I think anyone who studied history would know that.
They glossed over it, but I think they did it the right amount there and... poor old Edith. She's recovered quite quickly, though, didn't she?
Yes.
I seem to remember rightly. And then there's a bit of a scrap between the Saxons and the Vikings. And then the doctors, they find the doctor's cell and find him disappeared.
Yes,
and
he's gone out.
It's ending to episode 2.
Anyway,
yes.
Vikings never had horned helmets.
It's like going to time warp,
you're not related to the Kirby, are you?
Hold off.
Well, you can tell me about Vikings in a minute, as you seem to be such an expert, Isabella. So, the Doctor is back from his holiday, or Harborers, at least. The quality of the footage in episode 3 is actually the same as episode 1. The episode 2 and 4 are quite ropey. I just thought I'd mention that.
No, yeah, it's good. It's very dark. I mean, it's this. I guess there's no colour chronology in this film in black and white. But I mean, the whole it's lit very darkly. If that's not a contradiction in terms.
Yes, I agree with you.
They're using dark light.
Didn't make it dark. Feel like it was dark light. It was sort of set mostly at night.
Yeah, so hers made a very swift recovery.
Yeah, a strange man arrives in her little hut. No, she knows he's already met him after he's been raped. I thought she'd be a bit edgy, but she's recovered. Strongman.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're made of stronger stuff than
those. Ah, yes.
A bit of rape and pillage was expected of a woman in those days, apparently. So they discover the secret passage. Obviously, you guess then the doctor's escaped through the secret passage. Goes and visits Edith again and decides to go back to the monastery again to try and sort of rumble the monk who has taken in some Saxons and some Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they sort of pushed away in and, you know, they sort of, oh, do come in, oh, you already are. Yeah. I think they're sort of assumed.
Yeah.
But again, none of them seem to notice that the monk's on his own. You know, where are the rest of the monks? There just don't seem to be any of the monks anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, or you've got this gramophone, well, obviously they don't know it's a gramophone, you've got all the chanting they can hear.
He does get the doctor into a habit at some point.
Oh, dear me.
No, he does get some into a habit.
Yes.
It's not supposed to be a tish, it's a fact. That's right.
I like the progress chart as well. Yes. You know, that is very funny. That is.
Yeah. Read it off. Thank you very much.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I wonder why that is. Yeah. Yes.
Right. So then towards the end of episode 3, we find that the monk has this sarcophagus thing. So there's something significant about the sarcophagus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The doctor pokes a stick in his back.
I think it's a gun. Yeah. Winchester. Oh no, I won't say what it is now. Yes, right. That could be another question.
These scenes between these two are the highlight of the whole story.
Absolutely.
They're absolutely fantastic and so comfortable with it.
Do they know? I guess the doctor doesn't know the monk's a Time Lord, but I guess the monk must know the doctor.
Yeah, the monk knows the doctor's a Time Lord. The doctor is suspicious that the monk is.
Yeah.
Because he's realised that he's meddling with time. And this I know this is a backdrop that that is moving clouds. I thought that was quite impressive the way they wanted to go in Saturday.
It's Stephen and Vicky on top of the cliff. They're about to find the atomic cannon.
Where in that episode?
It looks like they're outside.
Episode 3, 14 minutes 23 in. Well, 14 minutes in. It does appear another time in the story, towards the end, actually.
Because someone on Facebook mentioned it. Oh, yeah, there we go. That is cool.
It is really cool. Yeah. We can know how that. You can see it's projected or whatever, but what an attention to detail to actually bother.
It is, it's good.
You know, to actually have the clouds moving. And it did really give a feeling of being on a cliff edge, because obviously you do get that in Britain.
Yeah.
Fast moving clouds at cliff edges.
Yeah,
and then there's cliff edges all over the place.
Yes, I'm talking about Britain.
Well, no,
not necessarily in Broadchurch.
Amusement parks will fall over cliffs.
Broadchurch, you don't get. You just get blue skies at Broadchurch.
Yep.
Can you stop making your cat meow? It's making my dog itch.
And I'm being pawed by one of the dogs as well.
Well, hey.
I think Dawn's in love.
No, Star's looking for a lap to clamber onto.
Well, don't climb on Dawn's lap because
she's
somebody
light and fluffy.
Who, Dawn or the magic?
Both.
Oh, right.
Magic is, and he's heavy and he's heavy and fluffy.
Well, of course, Dawn's not as light as she was. She's a bit bigger now.
No, Star's heavy.
What?
Well, Dawn's a bit bigger than she was now.
Oh, never mind.
Star's fluffy but heavy. Fluffy and heavy.
Yeah, so we're talking about the scenes between the Doctor and the monk.
Yes.
Which is, you know, obviously at the time that would have been played, they would have watched it. I think that works really well. Let's bring the monk back. So I'm just preluding to the fact that obviously the monk does return to Doctor Who, and it's the first returning character other than the Daleks.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
What about a spoiler alert?
Be quiet.
And then we get the monk obviously bashes the Viking on the head and goes to tie him up.
Yeah, with a polystyrene stick.
Mm. Yeah. It
doesn't matter, Kirby. Most of the people listening to this show are experienced Doctor Who fans and probably would have guessed that the monk returns. So this is the Doctor in his habit.
You think that his referencing a master plan all the time, that's kind of a clue.
No, what I got from that master plan was that the monk became the master because it's a master plan.
Mm.
This is a very early master, and he just decided to change his name by deed poll. And you'd understand by, obviously from this story and the next story, why he would have such a grudge against the Doctor.
Yeah. Just into the cup.
Except master.
No, here we go.
Master. Yeah. There's references in this story that the great age difference between the monk and the doctor, the And in later on, when he runs into the master, they're the same age. Pretty much. So
does that matter?
No, no. I'm not interested.
Yes,
in
it does.
It doesn't really matter.
Of course, Nuhu has established that
Nuhu
practically brothers or something.
Yeah. Again, that doesn't matter. Does
no,
it
doesn't.
Again,
no. Yes.
No, it doesn't. Right. So yes. Oh yeah. What happened to the end of that? I'm trying to paraphrase through that one. What was Stephen and? Oh, yeah, because both the Viking bloke and the Saxon bloke, well, no, both Vikings, sorry, get knocked out by a stick.
Yes.
One by the doctor, one by the...
So, obviously, they're very, very heavy sticks, because, I mean, a bit of wood, you know, they're pretty insubstantial thing. You think you've got a plank to do it. And, of course, we go into this sarcophagus.
Now, that bit there, I mean, imagine that watching that. When I first saw this episode, I thought, whoa!
Yeah. Because that's the first... That's only the second TARDIS you've ever seen, isn't it?
Mm. And the fact that now that says that TARDIS is... There are other TARDISes in the universe.
Yeah.
Tardai,
yes. And we've got Roundels.
In the chase, because the Daleks have a TARDIS.
No, it's not a TARDIS, it's a time machine.
That's a time machine, not a TARDIS.
Yeah, no,
it's not built by the Time Lords. It's, yeah, anyway. But anyway, so...
Also the monk's TARDIS has a black floor instead of a white floor.
Ah, see, the master.
Mm, yes. I think,
but also it got me thinking of which a question, really, a trivial Doctor Who question is which incarnation of the Doctor never met another Time Lord? Nah, I see.
Okay, so I think.
Oh, I just mocked the microphone.
God.
No, well, God is
Matt
not
Smith.
A Time Lord, although the Seventh Doctor was implied to be so. Yes.
Matt Smith?
You.
When did Matt Smith meet another
David
Time
Tennant?
Lord?
Matt Smith met another Time Lord. I can't remember, but he did.
David Tennant?
He met himself as another Time Lord. He met himself.
Oh, right? Oh yeah,
David
but, yeah.
Tennant.
No, David Tennant met himself and the Master.
The Eighth.
The Eighth met Time Lord.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, he met.
The Master,
sixth.
Duh.
Yeah.
The Sixth.
Sylvester McCoy.
No, the Sixth met. The Sixth met the Master.
Yes, Colin and
Baker.
The Rani.
Yeah.
We just said the Sixth.
It's obviously not the first or the second,
the
or the
fifth.
Third, or the fourth. No, it's not the fifth, because he met the Master.
Oh,
and also, the fifth Doctor met all the other Doctors. So, in fact, one to five all met each other.
Yeah. Met each other and the Master, because
yeah.
The Master was there, and they were in Gallifrey anyway.
It must be Christopher Eccleston, then.
It was Christopher Eccleston.
We got there, though, by...
Right.
Yes, trying to...
And he's unlikely to meet any of himself.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, on... The Day of the Doctor, there was a shot of the Maul standing
yeah.
there, but
yeah.
whether you want to count that as meeting themselves.
No, I think that's
a dream rather than an actual
yeah.
scene. Right, so Vicky and Stephen have got into the monk's TARDIS and are poking around, and this is another little scene between the monk and the Doctor.
He's calling him a time meddler, no good.
Yeah.
But Peter Butterworth just doesn't take him seriously. He's not at all worried, is he, Peter Butterworth?
He's very much in his carry-on. Sort of. I don't know if he'd done any carry-on films up to this point or whether he did them afterwards, but he's very much in his carry-on persona.
Yeah.
And he's so proud of his TARDIS, and he takes the Doctor in there rather stupidly in some ways to actually show him the inside.
Yeah.
It's a slightly more up-to-date model.
Yep.
But the Doctor is already thinking about Tammy.
His association with the carry-on film started in 1965 with Carry On Cowboy.
So it's around this time.
So it's right around the same
so
time.
So he might have been filming that at around the same time, yes.
Yeah. The Doctor's
he was in Carry On Screaming.
You can tell the Doctor's already considering tampering with it. While Edith... The monk's plan is to just to wipe out the Viking fleet. But they'd rather think that the Saxons think he's on the side of the Vikings, so they would decide to go and sort of attack the monastery because they think that's where all the Vikings are hiding, all the millions of Vikings. But somehow the monk escapes, the Doctor and his friends escape. I know I've sort of skipped through a little bit, but it's essentially what happens. And once the Doctor, I like the scene where he gets the kit out of the TARDIS, you know, with the bit of string, and he tells Stephen off. And Vicky off for being too close because he burns his fingers, doesn't he, in this particular scene.
Yeah.
That's done really, really well. But Yeah, and of course he had to be outside the TARDIS to remove it because it's the dimensional.
Yeah, he'd been squashed otherwise, wouldn't they?
And they all sort of escape.
Yes, and there's
essentially, and he leaves a note for the monk who sticks his head in the TARDIS. And really, he could climb in then.
He could. I mean, he could just about get in there, yeah. And he'd be able to do something because the control room thing in the Doctor's TARDIS is actually quite large.
Yeah.
You just, you know, would be able to do the controls there. That gets like a pencil back. Or something to hit controls with.
No, yeah. I can't imagine him crawling in there. That's
he might be able to reach in though, Mary. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But,
yeah, okay.
But I did like that. It reminded me of the Series 8 episode when, you know, the Doctor's the other way round. The Doctor's peering out of the TARDIS.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he puts his hand out, walks the TARDIS along, yes. Head off the rail track. Yes, yes, that was rather good.
Yeah, all around that was clever. So that is essentially the end of the Time Meddler. Of course, we see in the titles that the face is going up because that was the end of the series. Right, I'm going to start with this one because I never
that at the end of the faces.
Yes, it was a nice, comfortable end of series faces doodah thing. But I'm going to start because I never start with my opinion.
No, you don't.
This is really, really good.
Yep.
It's paced well. It's got a comfortable amount of comedy in it. There's a few sort of historical inaccuracies, but I didn't really mind about that because it was a really good story. A small cast, but it made it feel like it was a big cast because they did really well with that. All round brilliance, in my view. I think this is one of the best Hartnell stories.
I suppose they were all about average height, if you averaged them. You said they were a small cast.
So
moving swiftly
on. The rim shot will not play that. I told the rim shot to play, and it refused. So that says it all, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a very brief... Oh, now it's opened it, aren't you? That's your fault, Kirby. Bug it up me, Matt. Go on, Andy. Say what you think about it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. It's a good romp, but it also has got a good.
There we go. Oh, now it's playing another song. This one, which is quite good actually. It's
brave.
It's getting louder by Energy Syndicate and the Unit 13.
We're all bopping away. Oh, I hope you two. I hope our Americans were bopping away with us there.
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yes, I've now completely lost my... Yes, it's a good romp, but there actually is a good script in there as well. And as Adam says, there are certain bits that are historically inaccurate. But I think you can follow through, you can understand what the monk's trying to do and why he's trying to do it. And the scenes between the monk and the doctor, as they're trying to both outwit each other, I think they're very good, because it's the first time you see another Time Lord, so this is the Doctor in there to deal with someone who is actually his equal. I don't think he's ever been able to do that before, and he certainly doesn't regard the Daleks as anything like equals for him. I think very darkly lit. I have commented on that, so I suppose a lot... I wonder if it was actually filmed at night or what?
No, it was in the studio.
It was in the studio, then. Well,
was filmed at night, because they always filmed in the evenings.
Yeah, but that was a good thing about the studios, that the studios were well-dressed enough to make you think they were shot on location and something.
And I think the way that Stephen and Vicky work well, when they split them up, so they've got the part of the Doctor, I think that does actually work quite well. They're moving the story along. Stephen obviously takes a bit of time to be convinced, but once he's now realising this is a time machine, he's actually back in 1066, he's quite able to do it. I think that shows because obviously he's a soldier, or I'm assuming he's a soldier of some kind, and therefore can do it. And Vicky as well is turned out to be a very, very capable companion. You know, she's bright, she's brainy, she's not too frightened, you know, she doesn't scream like Susan did. So I think what you've got is you've got a good TARDIS crew there who work well together, but also work well apart. So yeah, like Adam, thoroughly enjoyed this.
What do you think, lovely Dawn?
I saw a bit of it.
Yes.
They bring quite a lot of theatre. All these old episodes bring quite a lot of theatre into these old black and white things, which is possibly a little bit missing in modern times because of all the special effects and everything.
But it's all about special effects.
Especially the interplay between William Hartnell and Peter Butterworth is very special, because you can see that they're very experienced actors, and they've had quite a lot of laughs making it. Now I would say that there was quite a few takes on trying to get it without them bursting into giggles.
But shame they didn't bring him back. He would work well with Troutner, I reckon.
Yeah.
Butterworth.
Yes, indeed.
But obviously he was earning a bit more money doing Carry On films.
Yeah.
But I think there was a bit of an element of Star Trek in it as well. Old 60s Star Trek with Bill Shatner and co. But yeah, very, very, very well done. I quite enjoyed the theatrical aspect of it and the lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirby?
I loved it.
Right.
Absolutely
Mary?
Loved it. It was well paced. Just because I complain about the Viking helmets, because everyone was thinking that back then, so no big deal.
No.
It's actually not bad. Oh,
hang on. What's he barking? Oh, it's dead.
No, it's dead. It's Alpha Debbie. No,
it is Alpha Debbie. Right,
oh, hang on a minute. We're not very good at moving stuff up.
I tell you what, Deb, that's brilliant timing because you just shut Kirby up. I think that is. You couldn't
shut who up?
Kirby.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
That worked really well.
Sorry, I'm just gonna go.
What are you barking at her for?
Oh, you stupid dog. Magic, get in.
Debbie's got a suitcase almost as big as she is.
I know it is.
Rafe!
Shut up! Okay.
I already did shut up.
Hey! Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Alpha Debbie was described by Adam as she who must be obeyed on Facebook a couple of days ago. So, I can see why.
She's she who must be obeyed.
That reminds me, I ought to get Rumpole of the Bailey, rent that from Netflix. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yes, thank you.
Talking about Secretary, yes.
Moving back to Doctor Who, have you finished what you were saying about the episode?
Yes, I guess.
Well, magic just went broke, 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 broke. And probably drowned out most of it, but never mind. Mary, what did you think? Brace yourself. Brace yourself. Here we go.
Well, I'm gonna join Ben and say it's all right.
What? Yeah. Ben? Who's Ben?
Who's Ben?
One thing that I found amusing was Vicky. I think she took wardrobe lessons from Barbara, because no sooner does Barbara disappear, and then Vicky shows up with those little stand-up collar things, just like Barbara wore. And I found it kind of strange that Vicky and Stephen separated from the doctor and not having any of his intelligence or historical knowledge, that Stephen refers to all this 10th century stuff, as if he knows all about it. It's like, how did he know?
Besides, it's the 11th
century.
Yeah,
damn, you beat me to it, Kirk. It's always been out for trips, aren't you?
Well
yes.
Done, well done.
And a couple of notes I made was bad wigs all round.
Bad wolf.
and the fights, oh my gosh, the fights were really sad looking. And I found it pretty dull going until about episode 3. Then episodes 3 and 4 I found were really good. But I was kind of drifting episodes 1 and 2. One thing I did like, and this going on with Doctor Who, is the strong female characters. Both that Edith, I liked that she was so, smart and...
Who, her?
And clever. Yeah,
no,
her.
and
Vicky, getting rid of Susan and bringing in, as Andy was referring to, Vicky, who's smart and full of ideas and courage and all this stuff. I really liked the change to a stronger companion for the Doctor. And one thing that really struck me was at the very end, I don't know if it was just the version I saw, but they have those faces superimposed at the end over the star field on the closing credits.
Yes, like the one that I just posted to the Facebook page.
Okay, yeah, that was, if they did that then, I don't know if that's a new thing that
they
is.
They just did it for the then. End of the series because that was the last one of that series.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah, but overall, I wouldn't put this among favorite episodes.
Really?
It's just kind of okay.
I would.
No, it was very good, wasn't it? Yeah. Wait, you've been outvoted on that one. I'm just going to turn the phone on. Hang on, I'm fiddling with some equipment. Hang on. Where's the button gone? Can't find it. Here we are.
What, you're not violining with the equipment?
No, I'm... What? What's going about?
I don't know.
See what happens when you have to move. Not the microphone. Hang on. Right. Yes.
Mary was just referencing the fights were kind of fake. Well, one of the fights was apparently so realistic that the New Zealand, I believe it was, cut 12 seconds out. And since this is the source material for this on the DVD. Came from New Zealand via and then Africa, something like that. Those 12 seconds involved a fight between the Saxons and the Vikings where they substituted sacks of something dressed up in the costumes and stabbed them. And so they that was removed by censors in New Zealand.
Huh. I found the fights very unconvincing.
I forgot about the fight, to be honest. I was just thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, I was as well.
Anyway, right, let's move on. Got some feedback. Oh, don't get too excited.
No. Oh, Debbie Melrose says, keep my seat warm, Andy. And that's what she said.
I'm going to put this on this machine so you can read it, Andy.
Oh, okay.
Because I can't be asked. Slick, isn't it? Or do you want to read it out, Isabella? I hope you didn't swear in it.
Ooh.
It's Jeff Waddle. Right, hang on.
Doesn't look like it.
Go on in.
Okay.
Today.
Just probably Scottish. As good a story as there is for the first Doctor.
I'll do it with a Scottish accent.
Yeah. Okay, the news. Hootsman, there's a moose loose about this house. Iron brute made in Scotland from Gerdas.
Come on then. Not in the Scottish accent, just read it. Yeah, go on then.
Okay. Probably as good a story as there is for the first Doctor. I wouldn't mean much now, but imagine discovering the monks got a TARDIS back in the day. Brilliant stuff, I think, apart from The Edge of Destruction, which doesn't have one. This is the first story where the villain isn't purely evil and instead is just going about things without a care for the consequences. By crumbs, he's long overdue a comeback in the modern era. Despite what you say about the gunfighters, it's very good. I've just realised that Hartnell doesn't give a bad performance in the historical stories, and it seems to be the futuristic ones he struggles with. If you were going to show a new viewer a story from the first Doctor era, this would be one of the best.
Yeah.
So agreed. It must be good then if Jeff Waddle likes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, agree, Jeff. He's still wrong about the gunfighters then. The gunfighters is awful. I think everyone really.
Gunfighters is good.
No, I agree that the gunfighters is. Gunfighters? Gunfighters is in.
The Glen Hoddles.
Awful. Right.
I like the gunfighters.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Download it for free.
This is Incode. The Time Meddler by Dennis Spooner. The Doctor wears an important ring, and in his first scene, the monk also wears one. The monk is from the same place as the Doctor, and he has a master plan. He seems a lot less menacing than the Doctor's later enemy, the Master. After this story, he will soon appear in one more story, when he gets mixed up with another master plan. The Vikings were pretty good. Most of them had a face like a Norse.
Oh, dear.
We have the Doctor threatening the monk with violence. The Doctor previously said, history cannot be changed. Now he says it must not be changed. This is not the last time a vital part of an enemy time machine will be stolen. The scenes where the Doctor is locked up in the monastery remind me of the Reign of Terror. They also use the same trick of using just the Doctor's voice from a jail cell to cover for William Hartnell's holiday absence. The monk intends to prevent England being invaded and then introduce modern technology. He could have introduced the fish and chip shop to Northumbria centuries before they were due to arrive. The monastery could have a friar and a chipmunk. Say no to the Viking immersion. Vote meddling monk, your United Kingdom Independence Party candidate.
Oh, excellent. Where do you even find this?
Bye for now.
Oh, that's excellent, Ian. Thank you. That was one of your. That's one of his best.
Quite so. Just guess what we've got to do last week. We must remember to do this week, Mary.
What?
We didn't talk about our sponsors at all last week. And which sponsors? Remind me. Not now, later on in the show. Yes, Kirby.
You've missed two more bits of feedback that were on Facebook.
Well, I don't. I've been. Where have I been this weekend?
Been to the Isle of Wight Music Festival, so it's been busy.
So how have I had time
you were right there at home on the Isle of Wight.
Well, go on then, Kirby. Go and tell me about these bits of feedback that we had on Facebook, please.
Baz Hood.
Go on then.
Said, the Time Meddler is brilliant, helped by really quite ambitious production design. Check out the in-studio Rolling Sky. Peter Purvis being brilliant and a cheeky turn by Peter Butterworth as the monk. Controversially, it does feature Doctor Who's second instance of an apparent rape of a character in Edith. Overall, though, a rather enjoyable watch and worthy of a rewatch every now and then. And Paul Gobert says, rewatching it now, ready for the next podcast. Started listening recently due to a recommendation. Really enjoying the three, the Crusade, the Space Museum, and the Chase I've listened to so far. The Time Meddler is still one of my favorite Hartnell stories. It has a perfect mix of humor and drama without going all out on either. Peter Butterworth is excellent as a devious but cheeky monk. It's a shame we don't get to see more of him aside from the Daleks' master plan. Oh, he comes back? Really? Later on through the series.
Spoilers!
Stephen does well as the doubting unbeliever who slowly grows to realize that the Doctor and Vicky are telling the truth. Next, a story I've never seen before, as I've not watched any of the reconstructions, Galaxy 4, so this should be a new experience for me.
Oh, they said there was more.
There was two bits of feedback you said, Kirby.
There was two.
Who was the other one
from?
I gave
you two.
We thought that was one piece of feedback.
Two bits of feedback merged into one.
They're both...
No, Baz Hood and Paul Gobert.
You never mentioned Paul.
Yeah, he didn't. No, he didn't mention.
Yes, I did.
Mary, go did he mention Paul?
What?
Did I mention Paul?
Kirby's talking him, then you're calling my name. So
yes,
but we're
having an argument as to whether Kirby mentioned Paul or not.
Yeah, yes. He did.
Oh, Mary, the Americans.
I was getting the same pieces of feedback with him.
Oh, yeah?
So, okay.
Anything else?
I didn't hear you.
Page? No? Okay, fine. Oh.
Yes, it's on Facebook.
Just a quickie, as I know you are in the middle of recording now. I thought I should start playing catch-up, as I haven't watched many Hartnells, to be honest. So, in the last few days, I've watched The Chase, Time Meddler, and three quarters of Galaxy 4. I've actually enjoyed all more than I expected, but won't talk of Galaxy 4 until next week. I like the look of the Dalek time machine, which to me looks like it was called back to Name of the Doctor, when you see a TARDIS on Gallifrey looking like a tube. I know that during the times of the first Doctor, we had yet to be exposed to any specific terms like Time Lords and Gallifrey, but when the monk and the Doctor are talking, you're just urging them on to use the names you expected the Doctor to say. I liked Stephen's introduction and what a beard. Anyway, I'll keep it short and less jumping around next time. Oh, and finally, thanks for the shout out last week. You're welcome, Rick. Stephen? I'm doing well with his name. Yeah, thanks for that, especially as I got your name wrong. I couldn't remember it and had to look it up. But do apologise, Rick. Honestly, I've got a terrible memory.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
Okay, it's a belling, belling, belling. Right, keep it like that so people can't see the answers. Right, before we get going, it's now time
Master?
For this. Yo, fuck, every bloody time. Some kind of interruption, isn't there? Yes!
We need a new rule that Andy has got to put away this script that he's talking about.
I have. It's on my phone, which is now closed.
Isabella has confiscated the script. There we go. Hold on to that. We're not holding
on
to it.
I'm talking about the next time.
What?
I have a feeling he may have been reading from it last week with all the delay.
Well, I can police that in future.
Well, given the fact I'm actually about to lose my Kindle somewhere in the back of my car.
What was the last time you were comatose on the floor?
No, that was the time before last. That was it, when I passed out on the floor, yes. Yes, I saw that you said I wasn't asleep. I saw that, Kirby. You're very rude, aren't you?
Right. Kirby?
Asda?
Have you shut up now?
Master.
Oh, God. It's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
No, I won't. There's Debbie.
I have. I have the bell, Isabella, because you can't hit it properly. So, there we go. Okay, the first question then goes to Kirby.
Master.
Go on then, Isabella, you have to speak in. This is a microphone.
Okay. Where were the noises?
Without showing the answers, you donut.
Where were the noises coming from?
In the TARDIS, I'm assuming.
No.
Oh, hang on,
no, this is from the living quarters. But see, the noises could have been coming from several places. You were not...
what was that?
He's going to keep talking.
Correct.
Eventually. Right. Mary, your question.
What is the doctor's willing to accept Stephen at?
So read that in English, please.
Hey, I did. What is the doctor willing to accept Stephen at?
I know.
Ooh.
What is he...
Yeah.
What's he willing? What is the doctor willing to accept, Ian?
Ian.
Stephen.
Stephen.
Stephen. Yeah. Sorry, Stephen. What's he willing to accept Stephen at?
What is he willing to accept him at?
Yes.
Yes.
I guess I don't understand the question. So, someone who does.
Go on in, Kirby.
It's face value.
Yep.
Correct. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Andy.
Hello, yes. And I've no notes. I've managed to lose my notes. And yeah, so I'm going to come bottom again.
Book of Excuses is getting referred to.
I know. Okay, right, go on. Isabella.
Okay. What was on the chair while the doctor gave Stephen a brief tour of the console?
Easy,
room?
He can do that one.
The panda.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, you can work without notes.
Right, or Larry. The script. Oh, sorry, Kirby.
Master.
Yes. Okay. You're not good at this, are you, Isabella?
What would the TARDIS look like if it landed in the Indian Mutiny?
I know.
A howdah.
Oh.
Correct.
Mary.
Yeah.
How do you do?
What was the first thing the doctor found in the hut?
The first thing he found in the hut?
Yes.
I think I know.
The hut?
Yes,
the hut.
Yeah.
There's a hut where Edith lives. A hut.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was her hut.
Right then, anybody?
Was it a sword?
No.
Nope. Okay, so the thing didn't play. There we go. The answer was...
A dead fox.
There we go.
Oh, right.
Whose question was that? Was that
I thought foxes yeah. That
was
the other night.
That was
me. Yeah, we both missed her.
Okay. Andy's question.
That's me, yeah.
What was the doctor given to drink by Edith?
Oh, it was my quote, mead.
Why is everyone else getting the easy questions?
So what's wrong with your questions, Mary? Wait for it. What's wrong with your questions there too?
Well, first I didn't understand the first question. And the second one nobody could answer. So come on, give me an easy one.
So what's the problem with your questions then?
Never mind. Right, Kirby's question. Go on.
Master.
What surname did the king have?
Yeah, what's the king's surname? That wasn't yes, no.
I know.
I don't remember. Ooh, so I'm losing.
Therefore, we're going to go...
We're going to...
And Andy knows.
Godwinson.
Correct.
I'm listening to history.
Mm. Yes, right. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, then.
How did the doctor describe his first night?
How did he describe his first night?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyone know?
Anybody?
Uncomfortable.
No. You see, I keep getting the ones nobody can answer.
Yes, go on then. What was the answer?
The answer was balmy.
Balmy. It's balmy night, yeah. Andy?
Yep.
With whose wife did the doctor stay?
Yeah. With whose wife?
Oh, flipping heck. Her name's Edith, and it's, flipping heck.
Stop it in your head.
Too bad you don't have the script in front of you.
Blighter. No, I can't remember. No.
I don't remember either.
Nobody? Didn't get that one then? Go on then.
Woolnoth,
indeed it was, yes. Right, so the scores
why
then.
Why did you warn the doctor off then?
The scores then, after so many questions, in a last place with no points, it's apparently because the questions are too hard and they're aimed at her for that particular reason, it's Mary, and joint leaders for 5 points each is Andy and Kirby. Spoon. Right, then the next, we're not doing them, I just don't. Kirby.
Master.
Okay. What century did Stephen doubt they were in?
Yes.
he keeps saying 10th.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So, of course, that's me. It's the 11th.
Another easy one.
Why I pointed up. Go on, Mary. Is it going to be a hard one for Mary?
That's what she said.
That's what she said. Yes.
What time did Stephen read off the watch?
I know.
Yes.
Oh. I didn't hear that one. What?
What time did Stephen read off the watch?
Oh, like 5:30?
Nope.
Go on then. Who said they knew before?
I think Kirby just got in front of me.
What's
right.
11:50.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Oh, that's on the what? That was on the what? No, right.
Well, so what was the answer then, Isabella?
It was 5:15.
So you were nearly right, Mary.
Yeah, I knew it was something after 5, but I couldn't remember what.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, Andy.
Yep.
Let me find it.
Oh, shut up.
What do you mean? You've got to look at the script. No, hang on.
I'm looking at the video.
Hang on, isn't that cheating as well?
Oh, I do apologize.
No, because he can't keep up with the video fast enough.
Right.
Apparently, Adam's done a misspelling.
It's showing 11:50.
I can't see any misspelt words there. Thank you very much.
Yes,
right.
You are.
Oh God.
Teenager.
The leash is just arrived.
Hi, Nate.
Right. Now you can see in for real life.
Yep.
How she pretends to be grumpy.
It's the teenager. Thank you. Right.
It's the co-founder of the show, everyone.
Pizza.
You haven't pizza, by the way, Alicia. Yeah. Right. Right, where did we get up to?
It was a clock.
Dad, you spelled Viking wrong.
I'm not really bothered. You knew it was the word Viking.
Well, how's he spelled it?
He spelled it V-I-K-N-G.
Viking.
That was not me. It was a auto spell check.
Right, okay.
Right, whose question is it now?
It was just mine, so that means
Andy.
That's me, yeah. Okay, right.
What pattern was on the Viking ship sail?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Right,
was just stripes. I think it was like just stripes, yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Master?
Yes, Kirby.
I just posted a picture of said wristwatch showing 11:50.
It's what the watch said. It's what Stephen said.
In the script, it's what Stephen said. Oh, that's sleep. What is... Right, I'm going to deduct a point of Kirby for ridiculous pedantry. Because I did say in the question, what did Stephen say? Not what it actually said on the thing. So that's my question, a point deducted. So that was your question.
Was that
it?
Mine,
so
yes.
Kirby's question now.
Who wants to kill Stephen and Vicky?
Who wanted to kill?
The Vikings.
Nope.
Who wanted to kill Stephen and Vicky?
I'm trying to look. Wasn't it called sort of girl or something like that? No. Isabella's looking at me in very strange ways, so I've got that completely wrong.
What's the answer then, Isabella?
Eldred.
Eldred, right.
Eldred must live!
Eldred must
live! Yeah, beat you to it, Kirby.
Right, so whose question? Oh, so it was Mary's question.
That was Mary's.
Yeah. Go on then, Mary.
Monastery is at the top of the hill behind the what?
I think I know what the answer.
What? No, I don't know.
I know.
Okay, but, so apparently Andy knows.
Well, it's behind the village, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh. So what's the answer then, Isabella?
Behind of the forest.
Behind the forest.
Andy.
Yep.
Go on in.
What is the name of the blonde Viking?
Sven.
Correct.
Whoa. That's a good answer.
Mm.
Right then, the scores then at the moment. In last place with no points, it's Mary.
Nobody can answer.
In second place with 6 points, Kirby. And the lead with 9 points, it's Andy. This is
even without his script.
I
go on a lot. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. By the way, Adam, you've got fluff all over your beard.
It's a fashion accessory thing.
No, it's not. It's just fluff. Look at that.
It's probably magic's fur anyway.
Yeah.
All right then, Kirby's question.
Master?
Yes?
I always say that when you call on me.
She talks over his own questions then.
Yeah.
So we'll only give him one chance.
Yeah, that's it. What's the answer then, Kirby? Because I know.
Yeah, go on then. What's the answer to that question that Isabella just read out while you were talking over it? Oh, he's gone all quiet again.
We're waiting, Kirby.
Yeah. Oh, go on, read the question again.
I'm walking into a trap.
Yes, go on and read the question again, Isabella. One last chance. Go on, then.
What did Vicky think secret passages were for?
I didn't understand that.
What did Vicky think secret passages were for?
It's a secret passage. I don't know.
Anybody?
Other wild geese are like adventure stories.
Nope.
Right. So, the answer is...
Seek fire or something.
Pardon?
I can't read that.
Right. It says here... Siege, fire, or something.
If you're in a castle and not all the enemy outside, you can't get outside. You're under siege.
Yes. Right. Kirby. Hang on, is that Kirby's question?
No, that was
me. That was Kirby's.
Hang on, who's Kirby? Yes. That was Mary's question. Apparently this is going to be too hard for
her. Okay, then.
That's what she said.
Another hard one.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Go on, then.
What food did Edith offer the doctor?
What food did Edith offer the doctor?
She gave him mead to drink, but I don't remember.
I think I know.
Go on then, Andy.
Is it venison?
Correct.
Master?
Yes.
With the secret passage thing, wasn't that around the time where Stephen was accusing Vicky of being a velociraptor?
Remember that bit.
Because he called her Clever Girl.
I don't think so.
Is that a reference to
Kirby, you've lost it.
A reference to Jurassic Park.
I've never seen any of them.
Really topical.
I've never seen Jurassic Park. Yeah. Although the station I go into every morning and dawn to go to work at Waterloo, they've got a big display there, Jurassic World, and there are some dinosaur models.
How can you guys not know? That's such a famous...
Never seen it. Never seen any of the Jurassic films.
We're moving away from the Jurassic Park podcast. I can't even say it back to Doctor Who. Whose question was that?
I think that was Mary's.
Yeah, because you answered it as a bonus point. Andy's question.
What did the monk administer to old Eldred?
It's penicillin or a herb.
Well, it's penicillin.
Yeah, but then he called it a herb. Yeah.
Correct.
You don't do without notes. He's easy, this.
Kirby.
Master.
What was number two on the monk's to-do list?
I don't remember.
I'm going to move on.
Anybody?
Was it Saint Vikings?
What was it? What's the answer? Was Mary just come up with the question? Mary came up with the answer.
What did she say?
Say it again, Mary.
I think she did.
Saint the Vikings?
What is the answer?
It was Position Atomic.
Atomic cannon.
Yeah, position atomic cannon. Yes. So therefore, Mary gets a. Well then.
Even when I think I know, I don't.
No. So that was Kirby's question, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mary, this is your question.
Okay.
What did Vicky claim she was not doing at the cliff's edge?
What she was not doing.
Yes.
I don't know.
Anybody?
Was it looking down?
Nope.
Yeah, so therefore you didn't get that one. The answer was?
Mopping. See, there's another one nobody gets.
Moping. Okay. Not mopping.
Moping. 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 Well, she wasn't mopping either. She's actually right. She wasn't mopping either. And she might need to.
Had two P's in it. Moping. Moping. Right. Andy's question.
What was the name of the Viking that the monk hit over the head?
You won't get this one.
It wasn't Eldred. Was it Eldred? I'll go with Eldred.
Nope.
Oh dear, that went a bit funny, didn't it? Then go on then, Kirby.
Was it Ulf?
Correct.
So, the scores then. No points, Mary, in last place. Second place with 7 points, Kirby, and in the lead with 12 points, it's Andy. This is
See,
Kirby's...
Andy, you can do fine without the script.
Oh, but Andy keeps getting easy questions.
Mm. Yes, he does.
Kirby's question. Get on with it, Isabella.
Okay. What did the monk ask Wolnoth to do?
I don't know.
All right.
Was it help him get the stuff out of his TARDIS?
Nope.
The answer was...
Place beacon fires on the cliff.
Yes, well done, Michelle. Right, Mary, your question.
It's a Star Trek podcast.
Who stepped into the monk's TARDIS first? Correct.
Yeah! Well,
that was an easy one.
There you go.
Finally.
It was a 50-50 shot, wasn't it?
Andy.
Is to warn the people the Vikings were coming.
Nope.
Anybody? That's all gone very quiet. The answer was
King Hadrada and the Viking fleet.
What?
The what?
Yeah, the monk said the beacons were for. Yeah, the question was, who did the monk say the beacons were for? The answer was King Hadrada and the Viking fleet. Okay, now I think I'll eventually read it out myself in the end. Right, whose question was that? Was that,
that was mine.
That was yours. So, Kirby.
Master.
How much did the merch deposit in a London bank in 1968?
Do you want me to read that in English?
No, it's...
Did you get that question, Kirby?
No, no, I didn't.
Say it again, Isabella.
How much did the merch deposit in a London...
For God's sake. Right. How much... Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yes.
It is written incorrectly, that question.
I can't.
Yeah, it's only for me to do that one. No. Right, the question was, how much did the monk deposit in a London bank in 1968? And Kirby answered it correctly with...
£200.
That's how you're supposed
it's
to do
it. Pretty heavy.
Yeah.
There's a technique to it, yes. Right.
Go back.
Mary.
Yes.
What model TARDIS is the monk's?
Yes.
It's a, what is it, a Type 40?
No, I know.
Oh,
no.
Dear. Oh, right, go on in, Andy.
You were nearly there, because when it's a Type 4.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. It's a Mark IV, not a type, it's a Mark IV.
Yeah, it's a Mark IV, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
Get a second chance, I'll take
no, that's okay.
Answer on that one. Right then, so, Andy,
yep.
Your question.
What is the monk's TARDIS fitted with autumn... Oh.
What a surprise. Can I have the blimmin' sheet?
Wait, can I read it? What
you go on again. Noisy dog, isn't it?
Sorry.
I've never known Magic's a dog to shout so loudly.
Yeah, come on,
it's a bit chaotic in here.
Magic.
Good luck. If you can get through all that unscathed. Yes. Yeah, the dog will be back in a minute once
right.
Finished barking and stuff.
Right.
Right, can we go do a bit of a rewind there, because I don't know where I was.
What was the monk's TARDIS fitted with?
Yeah.
It's the automatic... Hold it up, Isabella. Isabella nearly showed me the answer then. It's automatic, blah, blah, and I can't think what the second word is.
I know.
Yeah, go on, Kirby.
Hang on, before you rush into it, we have things to do. Go on then, Kirby.
It's the automatic drift control.
Correct.
Well, seeing that she started to say it,
yeah.
That was a big clue.
Well, I can remember the automatic bit. I couldn't remember what it was.
Well, she said automatic.
Yeah, but I remembered it anyway, Kirby.
Well, he didn't get the answer, did he?
No, he didn't.
What's he grumbling about? Sake. Right.
He's grumbling about not having the script in front of him.
Talk about you grumbling. Right, Kirby, I mean, how many questions have we got left here?
We've got three more.
Right, in that case, these are the last three questions. There won't be any double or nothings this week.
Okay.
Go on then, Kirby.
How many years earlier is the doctor to the monk?
Say that again, because he talked over it.
How How many years earlier?
Hang on, the mic. Can you come here? Hang on, come here.
I understood it.
Right, the microphone's here. Say it again. But into the microphone and hide the sheet.
And I referenced this earlier.
Yeah, let her ask the question. Go on.
How many years is the doctor to the monk?
Earlier.
50.
Correct.
And that's why I was saying this could not be the master.
Mary, your question.
Yes.
When tampering with the monk's TARDIS, how did the doctor describe the vibrations?
Golly, I don't remember.
Anybody?
Anyone
there? No. Go on in, Isabella.
Yes. Another one that nobody knows.
Nope.
Ticklish.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Is this the last one?
Last one, yep. Andy.
Go on.
What did Stephen wish they had?
I know. That was one of my quotes.
Anyone? No. Go on, Kirby.
Kirby.
A pair of wings. That was one of the quotes I was possibly going to use.
And that was...
Kirby.
Yes. The final scores.
Can I read them?
No, hang on. I'll write them down to you if you want to read them.
Don't argue with your father.
Go on in. Okay. Into the microphone. That's a microphone there. Yes, it's a podcast. We require
like
microphones.
Into the Dalek?
Go on in.
I'll take that.
Thank you.
In last place, with 2 points, is Mary.
Yay! Always.
In second place, with 12 points, is Andy. And in first place, with 13 points, is... Kirby!
Yay!
And Mary's moaning like anything,
see,
and he ends
This is what happens when Andy isn't armed with his script.
Right. You've got notes, though, Kirby, haven't you? You've made notes.
Only in a couple of cases. For the most part, these are just things that strike me as I'm watching. And
I don't know why I think notes, because after I passed on a question, then my eye falls on the very thing that I was asked. Yeah.
Okay. Can I just say, who won the quiz?
See, I remember things like Stephen holds up the watch.
And he got a point deducted as well. I know, he's still on the quiz, so I don't know what he's pleasing on. Yeah, anyway, right, let's move on to Doctor Who news.
Right.
There's news.
Okay.
Yes, there is news. Right going back down to the bottom of the list. We did Peter Howell last week, didn't we? Or did we?
Yes, we did.
Yes, and by the way, that's a different Peter Howell.
All right. Apparently Rebecca Front is going to be a guest star in the new series of Doctor Who. Recognise the face, but... I can't think what she's been in.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's a comedy actress.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and
what's her name? It was in Broadchurch. Well, she was better known as a comedy actress until she was in Doctor Who.
Not Olivia Colman.
Yes.
I've actually won a copy of Broadchurch from the big issue. I've never seen any of it yet.
I haven't seen it either. I'm not sure I'm interested.
Yeah. Very nice, is it?
No.
Yeah. She's in a funny mood today, hasn't he? Notice that?
Yes, he is. I'm just going to look at Rebecca Front, if you pardon the expression.
Yeah. Doctor Who is to form a major part of the new BBC Make It Digital campaign heading across the UK in the summer. The initiative is a project for BBC Learning and BBC English Regions with the aim of inspiring new generation to get creative with coding, programming and digital technology. She's been on the thick of it.
Is it coming anywhere near either of you guys?
Well, there you go. What? Sorry?
Is this thing coming anywhere near you guys?
Plymouth, Belfast, Cambridge, Bristol, Sunderland, Nottingham, Blackpool, Tennessee, Bournemouth, Cardiff, Hull.
Hang on a second.
South.
I'm doing a podcast.
It's like the cat coming in.
We know you're doing the podcast, Kirby. We're on it with you. You don't need to tell us that.
Where did I get up to? South East London.
Hull was the last one you did.
Was it Hull? That's right. South East London, Dundee, Birmingham. So no, basically.
No, apart but Bournemouth.
London's quite close to you.
And Bournemouth.
Oh, Bournemouth, I suppose.
Yeah, Bournemouth's fairly close to you, isn't it?
Yeah, never mind.
Well, Andy could go back to Birmingham.
Yeah, that's not close to us, is it?
No, London's closer.
And we did, though.
And Cambridge's closer.
Joining the Big Finish cast last week.
Yeah.
Radio Times Festival. I wonder if that's the same time as the Doctor Who one. No, September. But Doctor Who features on the 25th of September, and Russell T Davis also on the 25th of September. It's at Hampton Court.
Oh, that's nice and close to us, yeah.
So you can go to that and report from it. Okay. Doctor Adventure's free, which is ironic, considering Doctor Adventure's been going for ages, they've not gone back to the beginning again. That's out. Colin Baker's in A Christmas Carol. Yes?
A Christmas, not a Doctor Who.
No.
Okay.
Where at?
I'm trying to find out where it's actually. I don't know. Where is it? It's a film based on a novel by Charles Dickens.
Oh,
no, really?
Yeah.
Just watch out for the creatures coming out of the gas.
Yeah. Sarah Dallard, as I reported on Facebook, is going to be a writer for episode 10. That came through Toby Whithouse.
Yep.
Actually, so that's probably announced before it came up like that. Capaldi and Coleman to visit Germany. Sorry, German fan event. BBC Worldwide have announced that Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman will let go of the knee of Prince Harry.
Yeah, I saw that.
And,
yes,
visit Germany this summer for a special fan event.
Wasn't he groping her knee?
Yeah, I know, but she might. They didn't. She may well have groped his as well. I mean, she'd be entitled to.
Yeah.
And Stephen Moffat has an OBE. I don't think Ben would be particularly impressed with that particular award. So that's news. So we better talk about the sponsors. Who are the sponsors, Mary?
Well, one of them is whoone.co.uk. Yeah?
She's got it written down.
All right.
Got the script there, haven't you?
And where can whoone.co.uk?
whoone.co.uk?
And where does one go to find whoone.co.uk?
It's in Ryde, but you've gone in the opposite direction as to where that is. You could have gone to it.
Could have done.
You're not going to. No. Although you're going to Fishbourne, I suppose you could go into Ryde and then come back to Fishbourne. Yes, they've got some products. 11 Doctor's Mug. Well, they're missing out a couple of Doctors there, aren't they?
Yeah. Can we have a picture and see which one they miss? Work out which one they're missing?
No, they've only got one side of it. And it's got, you can see Davis and Baker, McCoy, McGann, Tennant, and a little bit of Smith. So who knows?
So it probably hasn't got John. It probably hasn't got, probably hasn't got McGann or Hurton, I would guess.
Yeah, you're probably right. Van Gogh, or whatever you want
or
to
Van Gogh, yeah. Yeah.
Mug.
$5.99.
A Dalek mug, $5.99. Travel pass holder, or Van Gogh. Has Doc 2 suddenly got the copyright? Of course, it's got a TARDIS on it.
Yeah.
Exploding TARDIS, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got a travel pass holder, Time Lord seal, as in my tattoo.
Yep.
And Doctor Who magazine at 487. So, stuff coming up on whoone.co.uk.
And the other sponsor, of course.
All gone very quiet. Well, it's avazi.co.uk, although Isabella, you're right, she's crumpled into a heap.
Who left it there? Who are the sponsors of the podcast?
Know, she's the heap. Never mind. So we've got various Doctor Who. There was an offer. I did post on the 20 megabyte page where you could get, I can't remember what it was, it's the first 20% off.
Yeah.
It was a six Doctor thing, I think. But Scarves, one of which I want, which is the Series 18. One.
Yep.
And Dalek Scarves.
So when are they ever going to provide us with free samples?
They're not. And of course you can get Sherlock stuff there as well.
We probably could. You have to go and collect it yourself, though.
Are there any baby products?
There might be, actually. Not necessarily related to Doctor Who. No, I can't see any. Mm. Shawls and wraps. You've got babies and shawls, can't you?
Yeah.
Some people carry their babies in a strange thing.
Yeah.
Snood? Is that
people? No, Snood's like more like a hat type thing, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Well, shows what I know. So loads of...
We'll have a look when we get home.
Maybe they've got to do gloves. Women's gloves, men's gloves. I don't know. Doctor Who, Sherlock. Made in Scotland. Specifically
from Gadders.
Ooh, you get tartan stuff as well. Specific Scottish things. Oh, that scarf there is very much like the First Doctor scarf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Lavazzi Men's Luxurious Wool Scarf. So, yeah, lavazzi.co.uk. So I've managed to do the sponsors this week. I think I deserve a... What are you doing? Stop wasting my Post-it notes.
Oh,
drawing.
Yeah, you're wasting my post-it notes.
What's she drawing? Is she drawing? Oh, it's an angel. It's a weeping angel. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, it's good. A weeping angel. It's a Dalek.
It's a podcast. Nobody can see it.
And a TARDIS.
Yes, Fred, Bert, Sydney, whatever your name is. Kirby.
Yeah, with my Velociraptor joke, I posted that on Facebook the other day, and Debbie Melrose understood it.
Is she?
Well, when we go see Debbie in a bit, we'll ask
Debbie
her.
Debbie Melrose is a highly intellectual woman.
What's she doing on the podcast then?
That's what I think.
And you felt the need to say that because?
She gets things... humour-wise, that other people don't. It's like that chap came up to us at the festival. Basically, kept on quoting obscure Doctor Who statements to us.
Is that little guy with the
hair
and the
Lots of piercing.
Black fingers.
Yeah,
did he have lots of piercing?
Did you ask him to listen to the podcast?
Pardon? Oh, I don't know if he listens to it. He just came up to me earlier on in the day and said, "How do you do a podcast?" And I thought he meant literally, so I started going through the technical side of doing a podcast. And he meant, how do I find the time to do a podcast?
Oh, right.
There you go.
So he must be a listener.
I don't think he is. He might be.
He might be. Well, Adam did have his T-shirt on.
He used to play football for me when I was manager of Wootton Football Club. And I had to kick him out of the team because he was annoying everybody.
Oh, okay. Was he any good at football?
He was, actually. But the fact that he was having a detrimental effect on team morale... sort of counteracted the fact that he was quite good at football. It made the rest of the players rubbish.
Was he a winger?
And it's a team game. He was a midfield player.
Right.
But he got kicked out. But he's all right. He's a bit less annoying now than he used to be, Freddie. No?
Well, I'll take your word for that. Not having met him before.
The fact that he likes Doctor Who made him go up in my estimation a little bit.
He was a bit odd, must admit. He was a bit weird, yes.
He was a bit drunk as well. So, yes, unless you can think of anything else, although we've got to go down and see Debbie in a minute, that's the end of the part of the show that's got Kirby and Mary in it.
Well, we need to discuss when we're going to be dealing with the what is next?
Galaxy Four.
Now that's one of those episodes that exists, and it's on a Doctor Who DVD, and I can't remember.
Yes,
which
it's
one
on
it is.
The it's on the Aztec Special Edition.
Thank you. I'll have to hoik that one out, and the rest of it is you've posted the link on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
And unfortunately, most of those links to, well, not most, about half of those, the anti-Beeb has removed them. So I don't currently have access to everything. I asked someone to find a link to Daily Motion for me.
Basically saying to people is have a look online and see if you can find the reconstructions. What about that chap? That we always look to for reconstructions.
Zarby Overlord.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Zarby Overlord is one as well.
Yeah, I think we'll have to look out for him and see if
So this is a four-episode one?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Well, before we... go on then. We'll try and find a time for recording. I think it's likely to be a... Oh, dear. Next week's Alicia's 18th birthday. I don't think... Oh, we could do it.
No.
Depends whether we're out that evening. Might have to get... Should we pencil it in for next Sunday? But if we're likely to be out having a meal... I'm going to be at work,
aren't I?
Not a lot of time to find our way through.
Yeah. The problem being, right, on the 22nd is Alicia's birthday. The 24th, I can't record anyway, because I've got the day off work, but I'm going to the Fleetwood Mac concert.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So I can't do it then. Monday 23rd, you and Debbie aren't available for.
No.
All four episodes of Galaxy 4 plus an introduction and a closing by Peter Purvis is on Daily Motion with Zarby Overlord.
Oh, see, if you remind Mary.
Okay, can you
I should give you extra
the link
points for that.
To the, in my thread on Facebook?
So that, you can if you like.
I could if I knew how.
We're deciding
weekend
on a date. How about the 28th of June?
We might be on holiday.
On the 28th?
No, I can't do that. I was trying to say it when you shut me up.
How does that affect the recording of the podcast?
What?
Sorry, there's Adam and Isabella are talking at the moment, so Kirby, it's all right.
Yeah, sorry, it's just, never mind. Yeah, sorry, Kirby, you were saying?
Sundays are good for me.
Yeah, I'm at a science fiction convention, not a Doctor Who convention, science fiction convention.
Well, we'll definitely put it in for that day then.
I might not be able to make it. We might be on holiday.
How long are we on holiday for?
We don't know. We haven't worked it out yet.
Probably about a week.
Okay.
We'll work.
then that would... Oh, dear, we are getting a bit stuffed. I might have to... we're going to have to put it in for that date anyway, even if both of you aren't available for it, unfortunately.
I'll be able to do feedback.
We'll get Debbie back. Yeah, that's all right. We'll get Debbie back anyway, hopefully, on that day. So it'll be just me, Mary and Debbie. But I think...
You have to watch it, Isabella.
So we're talking the 28th.
28th, yes.
At what time?
Normal time.
That's a Sunday.
Yes.
So 3 p.m.
Something like that, yeah. Whatever that is.
Okay, I will almost definitely not be available.
That's fine. I'm sure we'll survive.
So we're talking the 21st and the 28th, right? Two Sundays in a row?
No. 21st. We could do it 21st. It's Father's Day. I'll be working.
Well, next Sunday is the 21st.
I think we're going to struggle to get it or get people get watched in time. That's going to be the problem.
24 episodes, huh?
Mm. I mean, yeah, we could possibly do it on the 21st. I can force myself to...
Okay, shall we try and pencil it in for the 21st? What do you reckon?
That's the boss.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
Right. Yeah. Boss says we're doing it on Sunday.
The 21st.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, no, we can't. Cancel that. I'm at a dance show. Look, it says quite clearly there, dance show.
Oh, right, okay. So it's got to be that's the 28th then.
Yeah, my dance show.
Okay, so we're skipping a week, okay.
Yeah, well, it's not my bloody fault. You lot and your availabilities. I could do it on my own, but I'm not going to.
that's what she said.
I will send feedback since I definitely know I cannot. I'll be driving that afternoon.
That's fine, okay. Well, we'll get round it somehow, but thank you. Are you going to be there, Mary?
On the 28th?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Good. Right, so the last thing to do is to welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. And those are Kevin O'Brien and Paul Gobert have joined the group since Michael Kiwi Pierguidi. That's a name, isn't it?
That's a name and a half, that is.
And Paul James. Who I probably mentioned in a previous episode. So, yes, welcome, you fools. I mean, welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. While I say goodbye to Kerry and Murby, we're going to traipse off down the town and see if we can't get Debbie the sack by recording a meeting with her.
Yep.
And
be sure to get some pictures.
No. Oh, yeah, pictures as well.
Yeah, I suppose
we'll
do
try.
That. We'll try.
We'll
try.
We'll see you in a few days' time then, everybody. And see you even longer. See you in July, Kirby. All right. That's nice, isn't it?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
In July.
You will be.
Bye.
Bye.
No. Goodbye, fancy pants.
Be seeing you.
Bye-bye.
This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes.
What am I supposed to do?
Speak.
It's a microphone.
This is Debbie.
Hello,
hello
that's
Debbie.
That's a lucky door and bum.
You alright?
Yeah. Well,
how
was
the recording?
Not
how
too close.
Hello. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Use the test for sound.
I've done the sound.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's good to be here at work.
Yes.
We're not.
Did you have a fun weekend?
We did. We got soaking wet on Friday.
Fair enough.
As you might imagine. We discussed it by not staying complete with Mac. We left early, but we still had a thoroughly good time. Yes.
Brilliant.
Nearly set fire to the tent at one point. Which would not have gone down well, because if someone was so rammed in closely, I'd probably take half a campsite with me.
Would have been an interesting article.
It would have been indeed. I think I'd be pretty banned the island forever if I'd have done that.
It would have been quite an achievement to actually manage it as well.
Yes, but no, we had a
banned from the island. Imagine that.
Might do that anyway.
No, that's a really good time. Thanks, Deb. It's Dawn's first experience of podcasting.
How was it?
Oh, it's fun.
In the broader sense of the
word.
She did.
That's all right. And more than I've done in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Kirby won the quiz.
Yay!
After moaning.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He moans
quite a lot.
He does.
Oh, he does. He's so pedantic, isn't he, Kirby?
Oh, Mary.
Is she getting blamed about she was got the hard ones? That's what she said.
Yes.
If the innuendo level wasn't quite at its normal.
No,
times,
I think she needs you there for the
shame,
higher in the venue.
When are you recording next?
Sunday.
Hooray!
No, 28th.
The 28th.
Yes, you're doing your dancing.
Sunday
are you
the 28th.
Dancing?
No, she's doing the dancing.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, you are, aren't you? Yes,
you're going to be there anyway.
Yeah,
is Isla not in it then?
Oh, she's not in that one then.
No,
okay. She's not old enough, is she? No.
That's all right.
No, I'll be devoting a whole Sunday to being in a hot, sweaty room with lots of little children in July.
Oh, yeah.
You've been through that.
I'm filming that one.
We've got more to look forward to, Dawn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
Lovely.
So, what did you think of? What did we do last week?
We did a time medley.
Yeah, no, last week. That was this week.
The chase.
So what did you think of the chase? Because we all loved it. And with just to balance things out, you might have hated it.
No, actually, I enjoyed it.
Well, actually, who didn't like it so much? Did Mary?
Mary didn't like it.
Mary liked it, I thought.
Oh, you listened to the show?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. I listened to the show.
We could say all sorts of things about her.
No, of course I listened. Okay. No, I enjoyed it very much.
But, Time Meddler?
Time Meddler. I thought that was really fun, but all I could see every time I saw the monk was Carry On movies. Yeah. It was really hard. It was really hard to sort of step away from his character in most of the.
True, but he is very. Whenever he's on anything, he's just Peter Butterworth, doesn't he?
Yeah,
just
that's
doesn't
it.
Play
no,
any
no,
different
no,
character.
But, no, I love that. No.
You're trying to recommend one to
Kirby.
Watch.
When she's not on the show, she watches the episode.
Oh, right. Of course,
dedicated co-presenter.
But otherwise, I can't keep up. You know, and everybody's
and
referring
also,
to stuff.
It's part of the journey, isn't it? Even if it.
Well, exactly. You know, I hate myself if I miss something, so I go back and watch it. And then if someone says something about there being another version or something on the DVD, then I'll go and find it.
This is a standard set on the 20 megabyte podcast.
Dedicated Hoobian. Yeah, it's having a quiet day at work.
Quiet day?
But I'm in charge.
Oh, good, so you don't have to tell yourself off.
I can't leave, I'm not allowed out.
For podcasting while at work. Yeah,
yes,
I've never done that one before, it's a new one for me.
No,
Kirby used to do it, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to do it, because on my lunch break sometimes.
Oh, we should have come down
upstairs.
Here,
don't
you? You've got good enough Wi-Fi here.
Yeah, you have to be by the desk, but that might have been so quiet that it wouldn't have mattered if we'd set up.
No barking dogs and moaning wives.
Was your mum moaning?
She was towards the
she
end
gets a bit
of our
frustrated with this towards
no,
the end.
No, I think it's out of the fact that I couldn't find my professional bag that's got my camera in it. She said it was one place and it wasn't.
It also was a bit cramped before when it was in that front room.
Yeah, it's a bit.
I think we did quite well to fit four people into it and the dogs.
Jan, do you want to feature on the podcast? No, you sure?
Yes,
hopefully I won't get into trouble with the powers that be for.
We looked a bit us hiding with your CCTV.
I saw. What they match to? Isabella came round the corner and I saw her. So I can see anything in the shop.
She's not very inconspicuous, is she? She was also quite famous.
Yes, everyone knows Isabella. So how come you didn't come to the festival?
I was working. I was here yesterday.
Walked past your house and saw Tom on the doorstep and went.
Your scary husband, as I've been told.
Is he scary?
That's what I've been saying.
I'm scared.
No,
I'm scared of Tom.
Don't be scared of him. No. He's not scary. He just gets a bit fed up sometimes when it's all Doctor Who, Doctor 40, Who.
40 hours sort of fed up.
Yeah.
That's familiar, isn't it, darling? You have to get permission to do Sunday night. You have to have Sunday night dinner early.
Yes, no. I am going to have to go because we're waiting.
They should charge us. You are.
Well, if you take a day off with your kid,
yeah,
right, they're out of school, they charge you, don't they?
Yes.
Right, so they've taken your child out of school.
Yeah, that's true. They should give us 60
quid. They should
give
you 60
quid. Yeah, I like that plan. I'd go along with that.
I am going to have to go because my young lady's waiting to go on lunch and I have to phone someone to find out where she is to cover the lunch.
That's excuse number 362 from Reese Parton's.
That's a legitimate excuse because Jan's looking very hungry. It's her turn to go.
Okay. I'll pass it, then we'll trace back up then.
I'm so sorry. But I will be on next time.
Yes, next time. It's always next time, not next week now. Should be not so much of a weekly podcast.
Yeah, so
it's
28th?
28th.
Yeah, it's 28th at the moment.
Hello, listeners. I miss you all.
Oh, no.
So five
until
of them.
Then, which is ages away, thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Be seeing you.
Bye.
Oh dear, it wasn't recording.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and of a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.